Been looking at the sixth commandment, Exodus 20, verse 13, thou shalt not kill. We've seen thus far that the foundation, of course, for that commandment is that we respect life, our own, and that of others. We've seen several things that are not prohibited. Again, thou shalt not kill seems like a blanket statement. It's anything but. And we learn that from studying the rest of the Word of God. We know then that it's not just a blanket statement. In other words, not all killing is murder. We've seen what's not prohibited in that, such as the killing of animals for food, for protection, for protecting your property, your life, whatever. Certainly capital punishment is not included in that. War is not included. Protection of self is or family is not included. Last week we began to look at what is included. We saw what constitutes murder. We see that in Numbers 35, verses 16 through 21. And we learn there that that which is premeditated certainly is covered in thou shalt not kill. That which is premeditated is murder. That which is due to criminal neglect falls under this classification of thou shalt not kill. It's a form of murder. It may not necessarily fall under premeditation, but it is a form of murder. We learn that from Exodus 21. Verses 28 and 29, we see an example also in Deuteronomy chapter 22. So a person who drives drunk, a person who drives under the influence of drugs and someone is killed, that falls under this, thou shalt not kill. It's a form of murder. We want today to very briefly look at another form, and that, of course, that which is accessory. Any person who helps plan a murder, whether they did the actual killing, that's murder. Person who consents to it is guilty in the eyes of God, is guilty of murder. There's several examples of that in the Word of God, and a few of these examples to show us the grace and the mercy of God. These men were used in his service after they were an accessory to murder. First, the one that comes to most people's mind would be David. He plotted the death of Uriah by writing to Joab, who was his military commander, of course. And although the Ammonites actually killed Uriah, David was charged with murder. Notice in 2 Samuel chapter 12, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 9. Wherefore, this is Nathan. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. David never picked up the sword. David never drove that sword through Uriah. But he put the plan in place that caused all that to happen. It was the Ammonites who killed Uriah. But it's David who is charged here with murder. And again, by law, David should have been killed. But God, in his grace, in his mercy, that did not happen. And then you want to talk about the grace and mercy of God. God used David in a great way. I mean, going through the Psalms. This should be something that humbles us greatly. Humbles us greatly that David would be so used. So God may spare someone the death penalty just out of grace and mercy, and then later use them in the service. I mean, people will say, well, God's not going to use somebody that killed somebody. Well, that can be your opinion all you want it to be, but you can't prove that by God's word. In fact, just the opposite is proved. Jezebel, 1 Kings 21, we'll not turn there, but that's where we read of this. Jezebel plotted the death of Naboth, caused him to be wrongfully executed. Husband Ahab, since Jezebel wore the pants in the family, he went along with it. And both of them were killed by God for their deed. They were guilty. Neither one of them killed Naboth. Sons of Belial killed Naboth. But Jezebel planned it. Ahab agreed to it. And they were guilty. The Sanhedrin falsely accused Christ, and which led to the Romans to crucify him. And in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, they are charged with murder of Christ. I think of Saul. Talking about New Testament Saul, Paul. Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. Verse 20. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, and notice, and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. We see also that Saul was guilty, of course, before his salvation. It says there in Acts, it's either Acts 8 or Acts 9, I can't remember which. Acts 8, verse 3, Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing or dragging men and women, committed them to prison. Some of them were killed. Saul, again, by the grace of God, was not put to death, and God greatly used him in his service. Now, my own personal opinion, and it's not worth anything, but I believe that that perhaps was Saul's thorn in the flesh, was his past, and how he did commit men and women to prison, and how he did stand there and consent to the death of Stephen. He brought up on a few different occasions how unworthy he was and how he was the chief of sinners because of those things. It's obviously, as you read some statements by Paul, that this was something he never completely got away from. But God was gracious. And again, God was merciful. And again, someone can hold the opinion. Certainly, if you persecuted the church before you were saved and you had people arrested and some of those people were killed, there's no way that that person can ever be used in service of the Lord. Contrary to that, we see in Acts chapter 9, he was on his way. He had authority from the king to find any of this way. Once again, he was going to condemn people to prison, have them put to death. So that which is accessory is murder. Even though, and then there's many, many examples. People who plotted to murder someone, had someone else did the actual killing. But if you in any way had anything to do with it, you're guilty. You're guilty. But at times, certain individuals, God was gracious, God was merciful, and God greatly used them in his service. The next thing, of course, would be the killing of infants. We're specifically talking about abortion. Abortion is murder. And people need to call it, politicians need to call it that. I realize if they do, they're basically committing political suicide. But abortion is murder. The procedure done to remove or eliminate a child after conception, and life begins at conception, we all know these things, that's murder. There's no getting around it. Abortion is the murder of unborn children. Especially today with technology, you would have to be an utter fool to believe that it's not a child until it's born. You'd have to be a fool. Technology today proves, we don't need technology to prove this, the Word of God proves it. But technology proves to a lost world that abortion is murder. The murder of an unborn child. One does not become a mom, does not become a dad, when that child is born. You become a mom and dad when that child is conceived. That's when that child's life begins. Your parental responsibilities begin there as well. I don't think it's foolish. Some might. But I think, in fact, I think it's a good thing to read to read the Word of God to the child in the womb. Well, they can hear. Well, I believe they can. In fact, abortion is no less murder than the killing of one who has already been born. It's no less murder. And that's why all abortion, I don't care what the circumstances are, and there's some sad circumstances. When a woman is raped and becomes with child, that's a terribly sad circumstance. But that's no reason to kill the unborn child. It just goes through me. Well, in certain circumstances. Well, if that be so, then in certain circumstances, it's okay to kill your child that's already born. There's no circumstance that justifies. Well, when the life of the mother is at risk, even then. Life is in God's hands. You and I are not the ones who decide who lives and who dies. We're not the ones that decide that. That's God's business. So it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. And we can sympathize. But abortion is murder. Abortion is cold-blooded murder, according to God's law. It's premeditated. The person has given it thought. There's several that are involved. Mom and dad who consent, the doctor who does the actual procedure. I believe the nurses who take part, the hospital, everybody. I mean, there's a long list of people who are guilty of murder. The devil and his allies, of course, have conditioned the minds of many to. But you know, for the first time, I believe first time since 1972, that actually it's swinging the other way. More people now are against abortion than are for. That's a good thing. But the devil and his allies have conditioned the minds of many to accept the idea that the unborn child is less than human. But it's no less than human than you and I are at conception. They do this by constantly referring to the unborn child as a fetus or a blob of tissue. But all through the scriptures, again, you and I don't need pictures to prove this. We believe it from the Word of God. But all through scripture, unborn persons are referred to as a child. Unborn persons. Notice in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 19, this would refer to Eli's daughter-in-law. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child. Now, in this case, near to be delivered. But notice it says that she was with child. So the question has to be asked, when did that person become a child? And we will see that, of course, is a conception. Bathsheba told David, 2 Samuel 11 and verse 5, I am with child. I am with child. Now the circumstances leading up to that birth, of course, were sinful. That does not make the child something less. I am with child. I am not going to, and I know people disagree, but you'll never change my mind on this. I am not going to congratulate anyone who has a child out of wedlock. I'm not doing it. Because that is congratulating them for their sin. Now, that being said, I'm not going to mistreat that child in any way after he or she is born. And it doesn't mean that I'm not going to pray that the Lord give safe delivery for that child. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to be present when the child is born and pray that God would save the child. But I am not going to congratulate somebody for having a child out of wedlock. I can't go there personally. Some may be able to do that. I personally think it's wrong. But I am with child. 2 Kings 8, verse 12, we read, women with child. Women with child. Isaiah 7, verse 14, we read of the prophecy concerning Christ's birth. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. That is, carry a son. Where does she carry that son? In her womb. When did he become a son? When she conceived. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Carry a son. bring forth a son. Matthew 1, verse 18, it is said that she was found with child. That's talking about her pregnancy. She was found with child. I don't even like the term so-and-so is pregnant. It's better to say so-and-so is with child, because that needs to be planted in the minds of men and women. She's not just pregnant. She's with child. Society needs to be reminded of that, so perhaps we need to use different terms for society today. She is with child. So when conception in Luke 1 verse 31, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Back, I don't know, probably in the 80s sometime, Sharon and I had a bumper sticker that said, the most dangerous place in America, the mother's womb. We got quite a few comments, not positive ones either, from individuals. But the child is a child in the womb. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. It was said of the incarnation of Christ in John 1, verse 14, the Word was made flesh. Where was it made flesh? In the womb. In the womb. Where we see in Galatians 4, verse 4, along those lines, speaking of Jesus Christ, made of a woman. Once again, in the womb. The angel told Mary of her cousin Elizabeth in Luke 1, verse 36. The angel said, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. She hath conceived a son. It was a son at conception. Once again, a person does not become a parent at birth. You become a parent at conception. A person who is pregnant with child, they deliberately take drugs, and that child is born with defects due to those drugs, or that child dies in the womb. That's murder. That's murder. When that child is born with defects due to those drugs or alcohol, whatever it is, they're guilty. They're guilty. It's so sad. It is, again, she also hath conceived a son in her old age. So the unborn infant is a person from conception. David said in Psalm 51 and verse 5, in sin did my mother conceive me. And I like those two words, conceive me. Conceive me. He is saying when conception took place, that was me. That was me. And that's true of every one of us here. When conception took place, that was us. That was us. He spoke of being formed in the womb. Familiar passage. Let's turn there, Psalm 139. Is that clock right? Is it 10:45, Brother Larry?
Mine says 12 minutes.
Okay. We'll read this and we'll stop. Psalm 139. Verse 13. But we just read this not too long ago. For thou hast possessed, that is, my reins, my inward parts. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. When did we get to our mother's womb? At conception. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance, my skeletal frame, that of course develops in the womb, was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and I believe that refers to the womb, and curiously wrought or embroidered. It speaks of detail and precision and exactness, God forming us in the womb, in the lowest parts of the earth. David was a person known to God in the womb. So it is with you and I. Truth be told, we were known as a person before we ever were in the womb. But we were known to God in the womb, the Lord that formed me from the womb. Jeremiah 1 verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, which of course is the womb. So all of us, of course, are in agreement that abortion is cold-blooded murder. And I have no problem. I've had to tell people who have come, we're thinking about having an abortion, and I have no problem telling them whatsoever. That's murder. That's murder, and let me show you why. It is murder. So any church member that would have an abortion, that's murder. That, of course, is disciplinary action. For any church person to tell someone to have an abortion, you're guilty. You're guilty. Well, they were raped, or it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Again, we sympathize with circumstances. But that doesn't give anyone the right to kill an unborn child. Oh, how we need to pray for our nation. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, again for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the clarity of it. And we just pray that you would help us, God, that you would give us understanding. And Lord, we do thank you for your grace and your mercy. That even though that people can commit some of these acts, that you still are gracious and you're still merciful. And we thank you, Lord, for that. It humbles us. We just pray that you'd help us, Lord, to worship you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.